Emotions running very, very high for the Cleveland Browns as they come into the home of the defending Super Bowl champion Baltimore Ravens and get beat 14-6. They've now lost 11 straight against this Baltimore Raven football squad. Great to see everybody on Browns Overtime. Michael Regei alongside Doug Deacon and Vic Carucci. And Doug, offensively, the Browns left points on the football field today. They couldn't find the end zone, and to exacerbate things, they lost Brandon Whedon, thumb injury, throwing hand hit on a helmet in that second-to-last drive of the game.
Well, one of the problems today was, once again, third-down conversions. They were only 25%, and you look at the Ravens on the other side, they were at 50%. I thought Brandon Whedon played a pretty smart game today. Protection fell down a few times. He was sacked five times. You can't have that, but overall, I mean, the balance was closer to what you wanted, but we had no big plays. There was no separation in the secondary. Nobody to take the top off to the point the underneath guys would be open.
The story of this game, Michael, Doug, a defense played well enough for the Browns to win. And really all they needed was a little more offense than they got. I wasn't even looking for an avalanche of points. But things just, I mean, typical of this game to see three delay of game penalties was very frustrating, whatever that breakdown was that caused that. Now, Brandon Whedon's injury puts a whole different look on this whole thing, and we'll see what happens going forward. But this offense needs a lot of help, and hopefully that's going to come when Josh Gordon returns next week.
Well, once again, the Browns' defense was stellar for most of the football game. In the first half, they were suffocating, Doug. They completely shut down Ray Rice. There were four consecutive three and outs for Baltimore. This is a defense that seems to be able to get off to quick starts. Second half, though, they let a couple of touchdown drives that ultimately beat them.
Well, yeah, and what happened to them was on third downs they were able to convert because they ran some pick plays, and our defensive backs, rather than fighting through, ran around it and let them be wide open. But, you know, those are the things that are going to happen, and I think that comes with experience. But I think, you know, I agree with you. The defense, when you give up that many points to the Ravens, you should be winning.
Yeah. Sure, and it's a frustrated defense. It has to be, to see drop passes, to see, you know, plays not converted, to see the third down struggles that the Browns had offensively. And then eventually it became a tired defense. This was really the Miami game all over again. They did their part, they felt, and got tired toward the end.
A little bit later on in Browns Overtime, we'll discuss Barkevious Mingo, his NFL debut, very first sack. He knocked Joe Flacco to the ground, picked up his first sack. But Rob Chudzinski now has to deal with a starting quarterback that may be a bit questionable after Brandon Whedon, again, injured that thumb on what would be his final series of downs in the fourth quarter. Here's Rob Chudzinski, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns.
Whedon has a sprained thumb. X-rays were negative. And Groves has an ankle sprain. X-rays were negative as well. And we'll give you more details later on. It's a tough game, tough loss for us against a very good football team. And I'd like to give them a lot of credit. The Ravens did what they needed to do to win the football game. I felt like we had a good week of preparation. We fought hard, but it wasn't good enough, and that's the bottom line. I thought that early in the game, I think we came out and started fast. We had did some good things early in the game. We did have some composure issues early in the game that we need to continue to get better at and improve. I thought some of the efficiency things need to improve as well. We had some delay of games, and there's no excuses for that, and we'll get that cleaned up.
How does it feel?
Hurts. I will find out more tomorrow. I mean, it just depends on, you know, how it responds and if I can help with nothing.
So, gentlemen, as we get back here on the turf of M&T Bank Stadium, Rob Chudzinski now, again, could be faced with a week where he's got to make a move with his quarterback. We'll find out more tomorrow. Doug, Jason Campbell, a veteran, that's exactly why the Cleveland Browns picked him up as a free agent, to be able to step into situations like these.
Yeah, I mean, they went in the offseason. They wanted somebody that had some experience and had some success with their experience, and Jason Campbell did that. I mean, we knocked him out in Oakland a few years ago, and he was on a pretty hot streak at that time. But it does, you know, you wonder because, you know, Brandon Whedon, you wanted to see the development of it, but this could set it back if there is a break or something in his thumb.
Yeah, when I look at Jason Campbell, I mean, certainly the experience that he brings, 71 career starts going into this season. So he knows what he's doing. I think his feel for things might even be a little better than Brandon Whedon's. Whether he has the full skill set to carry it out, we'll see. I agree with Doug's point about Brandon Whedon's development. You wanted to see more of that and have the time to do that. But now this football team, you know, needs to patch a big hole. And then what else do they do? Will they need to go out and get another quarterback? They got Brian Hoyer here, but that's a position where right now it looks like a lot of the focus is going to fall on the shoulders of Jason Campbell.
We discussed the balance of this offense, gentlemen, a little bit early on. We saw certainly much more of it than 53 throws to 13 rushes against Miami. But my question to both of you is, there was still many series of downs on third down and short, and a couple of fourth downs and short, that Trent Richardson was off the football field and not in with Obanaya at the running back spot. Did that surprise either one of you?
Well, I think it surprises you because, you know, Trent Richardson is a guy, I think, you know, that when he gets the ball in his hands, has got the ability to make a play. The thing that, you know, you still have to convert those third downs, and you got to get yourself in workable positions for it. We were much better at that today, but we did not convert. I was more concerned with, we never stretched the field once.
Yep.
All day. And, I mean, if you don't stretch the field, they're going to compact that defense, and that's basically what the Ravens did.
Yeah, the Browns played small ball. I mean, they tried with their running game, and it's commendable that they tried to be balanced, and the Ravens had to honor the presence of that running threat. But, yes, I agree that you lost opportunities to either stretch the defense or make some big plays. Chris Obanaya was wide open on a play that Brandon Whedon just threw out of his reach. And, again, if you have Trent Richardson in there, it's probably the same thing if it's that throw. But you still want to have that weapon on the field.
Yeah, the Browns moved the pocket a little bit more today with Brandon Whedon on those half waggles. First snap of the game, that 53-yard shot he converted to Jordan Cameron. And Browns couldn't get in the end zone. Defense again stood out. When we get back on Browns Overtime, let's go inside the day that Barkevious Mingo had and his very first NFL performance. That's next. Don't go away.
He was. I was impressed with him for coming back this week and getting his first snaps in there in a live game. He did a real nice job. Was able to, get some pressure on the quarterback. So he was active. I mean, he was flying around pretty well today.
Special day for Barkevious Mingo as we welcome you back to Browns Overtime following a tough to swallow 14-6 loss to the defending Super Bowl champion Baltimore Ravens. Michael Regev, Vic Carucci with the young man out of LSU who made his NFL debut today. And what a first snap debut it was. Barkevious, first of all, give us a sense of your excitement level of being able to get back and play for the Cleveland Browns. And then that first snap, explosive right around Bryant McKinney to knock Flacco to the ground.
First of all, I was happy to be back on the field, being able to help this team win ball games. Unfortunately, we fell short today. But going back to that first play, coming off the bench, I wanted to make immediate impact. Was able to get around the edge and bring the quarterback down.
Talk about how you were used today, because the different packages, and there were times when Jabal Sheard and Paul Kruger were off the field and you were on there with Quinton Groves. Explain what the strategy was in terms of how you were utilized.
It was just keeping a fresh man in the game. We were blessed to have four guys that can go in and get in, play in the game and without a drop-off. So they're trying to give guys blows, switch it around, get better matchups. And just get pressure, cause pressure.
Barkevious, give us an idea, because we thought that we've been talking about that Ray Horton's game plan to stop Baltimore's run game was terrific today. First half especially, Ray Rice doesn't get off. What were you attempting to do, and how did you succeed with your run fits today in the schemes you were running?
It was just run discipline from the whole line. Linebackers coming up, making plays, and I guess for the most part we did a good job stopping the run. They got some good runs second half, got going a little bit, but we'll bounce back and we'll get it fixed and get everything corrected and try to put on a better showing next week.
And from a health standpoint, I mean, not only were you out there in those situations at outside linebacker, you also played on special teams on the punt unit, punt returns. What were you feeling like? Because you had, with the bruised lung, you had missed some work to do some conditioning. There wasn't a lot of running you could do. How did you feel out there on a warm day today?
I felt great. It was just credit to the doctors. They knew when to take me out, when to get me back in. So I got to play this week. I felt great. Everything was normal. And I was able to take those snaps. Quinn went down, next man up. So I had to fill that role and go out there and help the team.
I think we can all agree it's the beginning of what's going to be a sensational Cleveland Browns career, explosive off the edge for Barkevious Mingo. Barkevious, we appreciate your time, and we'll see you this weekend in Minneapolis when you go get that first win next Sunday.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
All right, that's Barkevious Mingo. Absolutely sensational in the very first snap in his NFL career. All right, when Browns overtime returns to downtown Baltimore, Vic and I will take a look at how successful the Browns were with the run game today, and what about the offensive line and its performance in front of quarterback Brandon Weeden. Don't go away. That's next.
Ready, 1, 2, 3, go!
So great to have all of you with us on Browns Overtime, M&T Bank Stadium. 14-6, Browns fall to 0-2, 11 straight loss to the Baltimore Ravens. Michael Regei, Vic Carucci. All right, let's start with the run game today. It was a cause of consternation all week long, the 13 touches that Trent Richardson had last week. You have the numbers, Vic. Did the Browns stay with it, and did it turn out to be effective enough to influence Baltimore defensively?
Yeah, 18 carries, which would be 5 more than last week. So I guess in that regard, it's better. But the production, only 3.2 yards per carry, is the issue. Not very productive. I think you have to stick with it. You have to maintain that threat. So from that standpoint, it's commendable that the coaching staff tried to do that, but not effective enough. And it takes us right to where? The offensive line. I mean, you've got to open more holes for Trent Richardson. You've got to do a better job of protecting the quarterback. But really, if you're going to – this is a team – Baltimore's a team that you have to be physical with, Michael. I didn't think the Browns were physical enough today.
And it's funny, too, because I was on the sidelines today on the Browns radio network, and that's exactly what they were looking to get. They said, let's be physical, let's dominate, let's get a push. As you said, I think Richardson's longest run today was 9 yards. Now, the offensive line was honed in on the right side last week against Miami. Vic, I kind of think it was – all across the front today where there was leakage sprung.
There was. The Ravens, of course, using that pressure scheme, very similar to what the Browns utilize. They do a lot of blitzing. They bring guys from a lot of areas, and you could see it was a struggle for the Browns to protect. Now, the right side still was struggling, but as you point out, other offensive linemen or the rest of this line was involved in some of those issues and making it a little too easy at times for the Ravens to penetrate. I also thought Brandon Weeden hung on to the ball in circumstances, maybe receivers not getting enough separation, not sure what his reads were taking him to. But, to see him sacked 5 times today after being sacked 6 times in the opener, 11 in 2 weeks, I mean, those are the kind of numbers that usually spell loss.
We brought it up with Doug Deacon in our first segment today. It appears there's still some uncertainty about down distance, especially third short, whether or not Trent Richardson is involved offensively.
Yeah, and the fact that he keeps coming off the field, I mean, it says a couple of things. First, it says that there is clear doubt as to his ability to pick up the blitz, as to block. I mean, that's the main thing you want a back to do in those situations. I think the second thing it says is that in terms of the scheme itself, the Browns aren't confident enough that they can get the plays that they need from Trent, maybe in the passing game. And I'm not entirely sure why that would be the case, because I think he is a dangerous enough receiver if you put him in those circumstances. And you see him on the sideline. I mean, he's chomping at the bit to get out there.
We saw them empty out Richardson a couple of times and had him in the receiver package and got him the football in that realm a few times. But I think everybody is looking for more to be able to get Trent Richardson involved. But the big thing again, Vic, the Browns got to find a way. They're going to have to get their run fits together offensively to make this run game be able to be productive and balance their offense out.
Well, I think it's two things. You're absolutely right. The line has to handle that and be as physical as the defense has been. When I talk about a lack of physicality, this is strictly an offensive conversation. Yeah. The defense, I think, has been plenty physical, but the line has to do that. And the second thing is the passing game has to help open things up for the run. So does that change with a Josh Gordon returning next week? Will the passing game become more explosive? You hope, but again, not knowing what the quarterback situation is like also raises questions there.
I think we all can agree Josh Gordon is going to have to be thrust in right away and become a large factor for this offense to start point producing. All right, that next week means downtown Minneapolis and an opportunity to see Adrian Peterson and the Minnesota Vikings. How have they started this 2013 football season? Not the way they've wanted either. Vic and I will take a look at the Minnesota Vikings. Don't go away. That's when Browns Overtime returns. That's next. Welcome back to Browns Overtime, M&T Bank Stadium here in Baltimore following the Browns' 14-6 loss to the defending Super Bowl champion Baltimore Ravens. Great to have you with us, Michael Regei, Vic Carucci. Next week, the Browns got to head on the road, Vic, and go into downtown Minneapolis and see Adrian Peterson and the Minnesota Vikings. They're 0-2, got beat by Detroit, got beat again today by the Chicago Bears. Browns got to go in there and need one.
They do, and they have to go in with the attitude that, first of all, defensively, they can handle this team. I mean, they've handled the run, you know, really well the first game against Miami. Had some issues today with Baltimore's ground game, but it's Adrian Peterson, the best in the game, and they're going to have to be stout against him. And the key, again, is don't let Christian Ponder beat you. He shouldn't.
No, he shouldn't be able to. Minnesota was really handled. Now, they have put points on the board. They got into a shootout against Matthew Stafford and Reggie Bush in Detroit last week, get beat by one today by Chicago. But this is a football team, and, of course, we're not sure about the status of the Browns starting quarterback, but you want to think the Browns offense with Josh Gordon back will be able to move the football productively.
Well, again, if you let your defense carry things, as the Browns defense tried to do today, and do a sufficient enough job to give you a chance to win, as they did today, you know, this is the kind of game in Minnesota that you can win, because I look at the Vikings offense as being, again, very one-dimensional. Yeah, they were able to put up 31 points today, and that's a significant job as far as their production, but with regard to how this Browns defense plays, I don't expect teams to put up those kind of numbers on them.
Now, it's a football situation for the Browns right now where, again, we're going to go through a week of having to determine whether or not it's going to be Brandon Whedon or possibly Jason Campbell as a starting quarterback. That's next week against the Minnesota Vikings. The Browns want to avoid going 0-3 to start the football season. For the Cleveland Browns organization, it's all about taking care of the city of Cleveland and the community. Jordan Cameron had a chance to pay forward and do just that this week.
Whedon looking right corner of the end zone, throws, touchdown, Jordan Cameron!
Tight end Jordan Cameron is a dominant force.
He's lobbing corner of the end zone, it's caught by Cameron, touchdown!
When he is on the field, he can make a difference. But for Cameron, making an impact off the field is equally important.
What's up, guys? I'm Jordan Cameron. I'm from Southern California, and we're here to reach you guys today.
On Tuesday, Cameron and teammate Jabal Sheard teamed up to spend time with children at Garfield Heights Library. Cameron read to the group and helped them pick out books to take home and encourage reading.
We're going to get that book. You can check out after. After we're done here, we're going to get it. Good choice. I like that one.
Jordan, it's a great thing that you and Jabal Sheard did here today. What's the importance of giving back to you?
I mean, it's especially important with just the reading thing we're doing today at the library, and reading is huge for kids, you know, and I grew up loving books, and so it definitely helps to give back and to see their face when you walk in. That's the best part about it. I think the opportunities in the NFL, you know, there's so many times you can give back. it's huge for us to have, like I said, have these opportunities, and it's just, we're lucky and we're grateful for what we do, you know, so any time to give back is humongous. All right, repeat after her. She's going to, whatever she says, you guys repeat.
Jordan, just tell us something about yourself that fans may not know. What do you like to do outside of football?
That's a good question. I mean, I would say reading. I mean, I just bought a book. I was talking to you guys earlier. I just bought Catcher in the Rye. Like, I heard something about that. I don't want to read it again, but I think reading is cool because it gets your minds off. Like, if you're struggling throughout the day or going through some hard things, it just takes you away from that. And I think reading, that's why reading is so awesome, getting, dive into a story and get into it. And it's hard to teach that to these little kids, but I mean, they'll figure it out sooner or later how, just like, use your imagination and really, like I said, dive into a novel and get into the characters. I think it's really cool.
Jordan Cameron, of course, paying forward in the Cleveland community and has been stellar in these first two football games, albeit Browns losses. No question about that.
Oh, yeah, and he's been the key, really, to this offense. He's given this offense whatever life it's had by getting open for that play, that 53-yarder today, another catch that he had in the game. But they need much, much more than that.
Well, they do, and that leads us into the return next week of the Browns' leading receiver, the best vertical threat, the guy who could take the top off the defense. Vic, given what's transpired in the first 2 weeks, how much of an effect do you see Josh Gordon having on this football team?
Well, Michael, I want to believe it's going to be a dramatic effect. He's the best offensive player the Browns have, I think, bar none. Athletically, he does things that really no one else does. Cameron would be second in that department, but they're missing that. And I think whoever is at quarterback, Jason Campbell, if it is him, he needs that kind of guy, that go-to ability to stretch defenses, to give them something to worry about. They don't have anybody really that scares them.
There was better balance offensively today, no doubt about that, but the Browns left plays on the football field offensively, and it wind up costing him. That's going to do it for us at Browns Overtime. Follow me this tough-to-swallow 14-6 loss to the Baltimore Ravens. Now for Doug Deacon, my partner Vic Carucci, and all of our guests, Michael Regei. We'll see you next week on Browns Overtime. Till then, so long, everyone.